Make May your month for big cash winnings at your neighborhood Washington Gold Casino. Stop by the Silver Dollar Casinos in SeaTac, Renton, and Mill Creek and see how their guests are winning thousands in cash prizes. So why not make today your day to strike it rich? Washington Gold Casinos. So close, it feels like home.
All right, it's the 8 o'clock hour, Brock and Salk. Brought to you by Precor Home Fitness. Good morning. It's draft morning. The hills are alive. The Cascades are reverberating with draft excitement. The Olympics are majestic poppin'. And what?
Popping.
They're popping.
Mount Rainier was popping.
Was it this
5:30 this morning on my drive across 520? Woo! Beautiful. This is beautiful. And enjoy it. It's not going to last.
Yeah, because by Saturday, yes. This gone is going to be gone. All right. What do you want the Seahawks to do? If you could come away with something this weekend, what is the number one thing you would like to see them get done? Trade up, trade back, pick at 18, draft a linebacker, draft a pass rusher, draft a running back, fix the running game, get mean, get physical, draft a leader, trade Earl, keep Earl, sign Earl. What do you want to see the Seahawks do? You get to pick one thing. The number one thing that if you were could advise John Schneider right now, oof, you would go to him and say, John, I need you to do one thing this weekend. What would it be? 206-421-3776.
Let's go, peeps. I've been talking way too much. You got to start with yours.
You want me?
That whole hour, I just talked like Mel and Todd. So you got to bring.
Well, I'll tell you. I mean, I have a bunch of things I would like to see them get done this weekend. Number one, I'd like to see them trade Earl and acquire a first round pick and hopefully a third rounder with it. Now, I don't know whether you're able to do that. I don't know what the market is. As of right now, it seems like the best they've been offered is a second round pick. Okay, I would still do that, I think. But I would like to see them trade Earl. That'd be number one. Number two, I would like to see them use both of their first rounders at that point, 18 and whatever they get back from Earl, but trade back with one of them and stay in the first round.
Okay.
So let's say you could get the 19th pick or whatever. Dallas is at 19 or 17? 19. So let's say you had 18 and 19. I trade 18 back to 22 or 24, come up with a third rounder in the process, and then pick at 18 and 26 or 22 or something like that. I would like to see them do that. Number three, I would like to see them get a leader. I would like to see them find that next personality that will galvanize this team and galvanize the city. And by the way, that doesn't have to be in the first round. It could be in the third or fourth. It could be a Shaquem Griffin. It could be a Quentin Meeks type guy. Somebody with the personality to lead this team and connect with the rest of the city to be the next Doug Baldwin, essentially. I would love to see that. I'd like to see them add to their running game, whether it's with a running back or a tight end or an offensive lineman. But I think when they do so, they have to prioritize a physicality and a nastiness at those three positions that's been missing the last few years. I want to see them get a pass rusher. Now, I get a lot of wants and things, but I'd like to see them get a pass rusher. Somebody with elite speed coming off the edge. Somebody who can replace Cliff Avril and before him, Chris Clemens.
Yep.
This defense needs that elephant position to function. And unless you can find what do they call it now?
That's good.
Well, when it was Willie McGinnis, it was the elephant. Yeah. What do they call it now?
The Leo.
Excuse me. It's the same thing. Yeah. It is.
Yeah.
Don't tell me it's not the same thing. It's the same thing. And they need it if they want to function. And then at the end, draft a running back and draft one late in this draft when there's about a million of them.
All right.
There you go. Yeah,
that's a strong wish list right
there.
Is that
too much to ask for to do all those things?
Probably.
Yes. No, it is not. If you trade Earl first, then you can do all of those things. But unfortunately, based on the moves you've made in the past to give up your second and third round picks this year, and by the way, they don't have a second round pick next year either. They don't have a second round pick next year either. So if you want to accomplish the things you need to do in order to turn this thing, I think you have to trade Earl in order to have the draft capital to start to make the changes you need to make. Well, it all starts for me with trading Earl before the number 19 pick tonight.
Yeah, I think that's a significant domino. That's right near the top of my list. We asked Clayton about this an hour ago and said, John, if you could have your wish list, what would you want to see the Seahawks get done tonight? Here was the professor.
Somehow get one of the top four pass rushers. And again, that may be very difficult to do, but I think that they need a pass rusher first. I think that they would do very well. And again, that's the key is like, okay, are they going to be drafting today, or how much more drafting are they going to be able to acquire in trades to be able to draft more tomorrow?
And if one of those top four pass rushers is there at 18, if three of them are gone, but one of those top four is there at 18, do you make that call? Do you make that move?
I can't. I can't do it without having a second or third round pick. I think they 100% need to have either a second and or a third in order to do what they want to do. And I'm not saying that you couldn't go from 18 to 22 or 24 and do some of that, but I just don't see how you can pick at 18 without trading Earl Thomas. 206-421-3776. You get one thing. What's the one thing you would like to see the Seahawks accomplish this weekend? Steven has been hanging on the longest in Kennewick. Good morning, Steven. What do you think?
Good morning. So I think it comes down to three words. I want Seattle to bring the funk. I want them to change things up. I want them to do something different. I don't want them to trade back to 24 and then trade back to 40 and 70 and then trade back again and just keep messing it up. I think it all determines on what San Francisco does at 9 and then what Washington does at 13. Because if Washington and San Francisco do things a little different, then Vita Vea may be available. That would be awesome. Or Marcus Davenport at 18 would be awesome as well. My heart's set on Marcus Davenport because I don't think Vita Vea would be available, but that's what I want.
So, bring the funk and do it differently. Thank you from Kennewick, Steven. Just do it differently. I'm tired of looking at these drafts the last 3 years. Tired of looking at three guys out of 28 that you've drafted in 13, 14, and 15 that are even on this roster today. Tired of that. You've done that in the past. You did that 2 years ago. Right, you leverage things. You did it. You had 13 picks or 12 picks or 11. You had all these picks. What has it really amounted to? If you've got the next elite guy, and Marcus Davenport, by the way, is who both Daniel Jeremiah and Mike Mayock both mocked.
But is he truly elite? Is he truly different from what you might get at 24?
He is. Yes. From a physical stature standpoint, yes. Yeah, he's 6'6 and 265 and runs 4.5 and has a ceiling and a whole lot more game. That he's the one that, you know, is your quintessential. I think I said in my profile, he's your quintessential Pete pick. This guy's got freakish physical ability. Now let me and let our program develop him, and he can be a 10-sack guy. If we did it with Frank Clark in the second round, and he's become an 8.5, 9-sack guy, well, this is a guy that's longer, that's twitchier, that's even faster. Now, doesn't have it necessarily through 4 years of college at Texas San Antonio, so we're going to have to grow and develop.
He's the guy we kind of compared to Jason Pierre-Paul, right?
Yes.
Is that right? Kind of freakish athleticism and all that. 206-421-3776. You can do one thing. One thing, what do you want to see John Schneider accomplish this weekend? Sam is in Tacoma. Good morning, Sam.
Good morning, guys. Hey, I totally disagree with the Earl Thomas trade, by the way, but I'll leave that one alone. But I say trade back to the first. John Schneider has had a history of trading out of the first, and our first-round draft picks really, honestly, haven't really capitalized into big things. So trade back, accumulate some more picks, take maybe Mike Hughes or Josh Jackson later in the late 20s as a good cornerback.
I would say this, though, Sam. Thank you for the phone call. I would say you're right that the Jermaine Ifedis and the late first-round picks have had a struggle. Bruce Irvin was a stud. Bruce Irvin helped you win a Super Bowl. Bruce Irvin got paid huge money in Oakland. Russell Okung helped you win a Super Bowl. He was a stud. Earl Thomas is arguably one of the greatest players you've ever had. So some of your higher first-round picks, you know, have been incredibly productive. Your late 20s, your low 30s first-round picks, a little different conversation. Because as we said earlier, that grouping of players from 25 to 50, you know, typically there's not a huge variance.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of different positions, and there's kind of lots of different shapes and sizes, and some of the things they can't do, you know, that list is a little bit longer than all the things that the top 15 picks can do. And if you're sitting there at 18 and you've got a top 10 or top 15 value because of this crazy quarterback,
then you need
market
to trade Earl, because you cannot, if you're trying to make a turn like you are, not have a second and third round pick, right? Am I crazy? For someone like John Schneider, who seems to value the second and third round as much as he does, to not have second and third rounders where you can get what he deems to be first round talent? I'm sorry, that doesn't make sense to me.
Okay, can we go back to, we got nearly full phone lines.
Yeah, you guys can jump in here. 206-421-3776.
Because I think it's important maybe on this day to say, and Danny felt so strongly about this, and part of me agree with him, and part of me still wanted to try to argue it, that 1 year of Earl Thomas is more valuable than a second round pick. The 1 year of Earl, especially at an $8.5 million cap number where you got him for the final year of this deal, is more valuable than this second or third round
pick. So I guess what I would have to say to that, because I disagree with it, is how will you feel at the end of that year? At the end of that year, how will you feel about the decision? I know how I feel, and I'm trying to learn from my mistakes. I know how I feel right now about the decision to trade for Sheldon Richardson.
Mm-hmm.
The 1 year of Sheldon Richardson was not, let me be definitive, was not worth the price they paid for it. Mm. the 1 year of Sheldon Richardson was definitively not worth the price they paid for it. And at the time, I think we thought that they were going to get a third round pick back at the end of all that. And now that I understand the rules better, that's obviously not the case. And I feel terrible for the way I felt about that trade at the time. They did not get appropriate value back for Sheldon Richardson, right? They didn't get what they needed. They had a year where they didn't make the playoffs, and because of it, they don't have a second-round pick this year.
Yeah, I don't know if I can put that all on Sheldon. I mean,
I'm not putting it on him. It's not his fault. But the fact of the matter is they traded for a guy to go for it. They didn't make it. In fact, they didn't even make the playoffs, and now they are in a bad spot because of it. It was not definitively worth it.
Well, I think they showed you to a degree, did they not, with that Sheldon move and then a second and third for Duane Brown, just from evaluation.
But Duane may end up being worth it because he's going to play for at least a year and a half. And at the same time, he may very well sign a long-term deal here. Yep. So with Duane Brown, you're getting more than one failed season.
Listen, I'm with you on this one. I'm opposite of Sam. Okay, at the top of my wish list, I'd like to see that trade made. And I'd like to see it made because I don't know if I fully believe that Earl Thomas is not going to hold out. I think Earl's all over the board. I think Earl has shown us in 8 years he's unbelievably emotional. So if his agents tell John Schneider at the Combine, hey, he doesn't intend to hold out, I don't know if that's going to be the case come late July. I don't really want somebody that I have to count on that doesn't work with his guys for the next 2 months, right, that is here for 3 days of mandatory camp out of 180 that doesn't want to be here. He doesn't want to be here on this deal.
He doesn't want to be here, I don't believe, in general. And because of it, yeah, if all you can get is a second-round pick, then that's probably what you need to say.
Let me say unequivocally, he does not want to be here on a one-year deal. He does not. And why do you want somebody that doesn't want to be here?
206-421-3776. 206-421-3776. What's the one thing you would like to see John Schneider and the Seahawks accomplish this weekend? Pretty simple question. We'd like to hear from more of you. Hunter is in Puyallup. Hi, Hunter. Good morning.
Good morning. To me, it's the pass rush. With the demand of the quarterbacks and at the draft, some of the better prospects will fall. And one of those prospects will be Marcus Davenport. If he's available for John and Pete at 18, I say why not? I think he'd be a great fit with Frank Clark and Deion Jordan. And with likely Cliff Averill not coming back, I think it's obvious to me.
Well, it's going to be interesting. Thank you, Hunter. You back up a little what Steven and Kennewick said. And maybe he's the name this year. Or last year it was Ryan Ramczyk. Last year it was Cam Robinson. Last year it was some of these big linemen, right, that were sitting there. Salk and we were there.
Right.
We were at CenturyLink Field. You and I were there and thousands were there. Like, okay, that name's there. Ramczyk's sitting there at 25.
Yes, you're right. Everybody there was praying it would be Ryan Ramczyk at 25.
There were a lot of folks there.
They
knew
couldn't
the names
wait to see the Seahawks call the name Ryan Ramczyk.
They knew the names of offensive linemen, or they knew the names of corners that were there. They had those names in their mind when they were on the clock, and what did they do? And they traded down, and then they traded down again, and then they traded down again, and they didn't take any of those guys. I'm feeling because of these mocks, because of Daniel Jeremiah, because of Mike Mayock, because of Tom McShay, because of a lot of these guys that have been mocking a Marcus Davenport and the upside of him, if he's on the board there at 18, going to be a lot of Seahawks fans all over the state going, pull the trigger, pull the trigger.
I'm thinking of walking off the radio. I'm serious. I'm so embarrassed that these phone lines aren't full that I'm thinking of walking off the radio. Okay. It's the day of the NFL draft. It's the day of the NFL draft with the supposed 12s being the most impressive fan base in the country. And you guys don't have an opinion on what the Seahawks should do this weekend? You guys should be ashamed of yourselves, every one of you. I'm not joking. Every one of you should be ashamed. I'm embarrassed right now. Probably the most embarrassed I've ever been on to be in the show. You're telling me that we have one person on the line right now who has an opinion on what the Seahawks should do this weekend? I'm not 10 of them. One. What's one thing the Seahawks should accomplish? And we have one person in the entire area of Western Washington and the Tri-Cities and the other places we're on the stream around the country. There's one Seahawks fan other than us who has an opinion on what the Seahawks should do this weekend. I don't even know. Should we stop doing the show?
Want to talk Ryan Healy?
Let's talk Mariners. I don't even know. I don't even know what to say. I'm horrified.
Juan Nicasio was throwing 95 yesterday. We can shift gear. Eddie Diaz 10 for 10 on saves.
Will that bullpen make you happy? Will that put a smile on your face? Because man,
it does. I mean, I am more than willing to sit here and talk Mariners for the rest of the show if you guys don't care about the draft.
Yeah. No, I feel you a little bit. I feel some of that pain. I feel like maybe I'm talking too much. Right? That this is just where I'm, just overload. that it's just simply overload, because I am hard-pressed to believe that as many diehard fans as there are out there for this franchise, that, you know, these phone lines are wide open for you, 206-421-3776, that you don't have with where this – maybe, Mike, there's so much frustration last year. Maybe last year, in all of the frustration and so many of these stars that have left, that people are just like, well, yeah, let me know. I'll be reading about it. I'll be reading about it. But it's a rebuild year anyway.
No, it has nothing to do with that.
No, it's
as usual, the phone lines are now full. You guys are just too lazy to call.
It's a rebuild year.
This is bizarre. Isaiah is in Yakima. Hi, Isaiah. Good morning.
Hi. Well, I'm glad that the phone lines are full, because that was a lot of pressure if I was still the only caller.
You were the only one, Isaiah. You are our only true friend in the world.
Isaiah, you're going to get the secret number, man. We got a secret number. You can call it anytime.
I was getting nervous. My palms started sweating. I felt like I was in the war room.
Isaiah, what do you think the Mariners need to do this weekend, this series here? Yeah, against Cleveland. What do you think? Can they take two out of four?
I think, you know what, I actually think the Mariners are going to take three out of four.
There we go. I like your optimism. What would you like to see John Schneider accomplish?
I would like to see two things. One, don't get trigger happy. Stay true to their board. Their draft history speaks for itself, except they got complacent, you know, but they got rid of the guys that they weren't trying to get competition for. So stay true to your board and actually draft pure competition for those spots that you're claiming. Hmm. They're all about hey, we're going back to our roots, competition, running the football. Won't draft that way. Show us. You know, don't make a trade unless it's absolutely necessary and you're getting exactly what you value for him. Because I think Brock's right. I would take 1 year, 8.5 of Earl Thomas, a Hall of Fame player, over a shot in the dark in a second round pick, because you never know what.
But what, Isaiah, if he doesn't want to be here? Okay, and I feel very strongly about that. Would he want to be here on a long term deal? Yes, he would. Yes, he would. If Earl gets his payday from Seattle, he wants to be here. But he does not want to be here on the final year of his deal. You haven't seen him the first 2 weeks of training. You're not going to see him for the next 3 weeks. You're not going to see him. You may see him at the mandatory. You may not. I mean, you want that? Somebody here that doesn't want to be here on the terms of his contract?
I can't really explain it too well, other than the fact that I've been an Earl guy since he was in college, watching him at Texas. And my gut just tells me that since he was one of the foundational pieces that Pete and John drafted, I mean, it was between Taylor Mays and Earl Thomas that year. And everyone was like, he's going to go with this guy, his SC guy. And Pete went with the guy that I hoped he went for, and it was Earl Thomas. I just believe in my gut, when it's all said and done, he's going to get the contract, because that's going to be one of the guys that I don't think John and Pete.
I don't know, man. I appreciate the phone call, and I like the reasoning. I'll disagree, and I'll just keep coming back to that scorpion and the frog thing. I just don't think that loyalty can continue to exist that same way. And we appreciate what Earl's done if you're Pete and John, but it doesn't mean you can afford to give him a long-term deal. 206-421-3776. Oh, it's the Gilted. The Gilted are here on the line. I've got six of them now all of a sudden. Got a tweet that says, Salk will turn this car around. That's right. I will. Gosh. Isaiah. We have another Isaiah. Isaiah's in Covington as well. Different Isaiah. What's up, dude?
Hey, guys. I am really excited for the draft. I did feel guilted into calling me.
Yeah, you did.
You were correct.
Because you were just sitting there, like, listening, like, oh, somebody else will do it.
I'll park
a typical Northwest passive-aggressive attitude. You waited for somebody else to do it, and finally you had to be guilted into calling.
You're right, man. I'm here.
All right.
Here.
What do you want to see?
I really, unfortunately, it's sad to say, I do want to see the Seahawks trade for Earl Thomas and get as much value as possible, only because it's obvious that, you know, the 13 era and the Super Bowl winning team is over, and we're depleting, we're crumbling from the inside. So if we can get as much value as possible to fill as many holes as possible, I believe in the philosophy and the system of Pete and John and what they can do for camaraderie. And it wasn't right for Sherm and Bennett, but if they can get multiple young guys for Earl, and kind of get them to buy in early, I believe in, in that.
Hey, Isaiah, can I challenge one other thing? Salk, challenge your passive-aggressive nature out there in Covington. Can I challenge one other thing? This whole sad to say, and it's over, and we're just done, and it's just crumbled. That's just not the NFL, man. Mm-hmm. That the Major League Baseball, that it takes a long time. That the NBA, it takes a long time. Have we not learned? Have you not looked? Did Philadelphia not win the Super Bowl last year? being 7-9 the year before that, right? Did the Rams not win the division and spank you in your building after being just obsolete for a decade? Like,
yeah.
You can turn this thing, and you can turn it to the New Orleans Saints with two draft picks and rookies of the year on offense and defense. By the way, one in the mid-first, one in the third round. Did they not change the dynamic of their team severely?
Absolutely.
This is not a sad to say, woe is us. It has crumbled. It is done. It is, my gosh, Bobby is here. Mm. Russell is here. KJ is here. Doug is here. We got elite players, and now we can infuse them with some of that competitive fire and the competitive juice this thing was built on. That's the opportunity you have.
Let's grab our buddy Brad, who's in Ann Arbor. Brad, what would you like to see done this weekend?
Hey, you guilted me into calling, too, and I'm here in the Midwest. So I don't understand it. Seattle should be totally on the lines. Anyways, yeah, I think even stronger than the previous caller, we have to get rid of Thomas. We're resetting here. John Schneider should just, whatever the best offer is, I don't care what it is, just you got to move him. If you can get whatever you get, you get. That's fine. It's gravy.
Yeah, Brad, go ahead.
Continue. I kind of wanted Brock's view on this. And the guy I'm kind of looking at, maybe if we can trade down from 18 a little bit, or maybe with a pick we get for Thomas, what do you think of Isaiah Oliver out of Colorado as a cornerback to start opposite Griffin?
Yeah, I like him. Now, I didn't get to see Colorado this year.
He's a corner?
He is a corner.
Is he better than the two corners they had last year?
He was a part of it. He was in that mix a year ago. He's athletic. He's long. He fits kind of some of those numbers, those musts that the Seahawks look at it. But I don't know if corner with a Byron Maxwell, with the moves, you know, who's still out there, Donta Johnson, who they signed. I don't know if that's the direction. I want violent, man.
I'm kind of with you.
But number two on my list behind Earl is I want violent. I want the most violent player on the board. That's what I want. That's what I want tonight. That's what I want tomorrow. That's what I want over the weekend. Because I want back to, if Pete Carroll's right, okay, and he said this the other day, at the press conference, they're going to get back to basics. One of the things when they got back to basics is they were intimidators.
To add to that, this time of year, we're always going back to basics and looking for the fundamental aspects of the makeup of the players, you know. And so, we have been strong on the thought of, you know, getting the smart, tough, reliable guys that we've always loved, and want to make sure that we're doing that. Maybe it's just a reminder, you know, because it's that time of year again. But we certainly want to emphasize the real competitive natured kids that really are going to come in and fight and claw and scratch, just like the guys that have made this program. And so it just seems like maybe we emphasize that again at this time of year every year.
Yeah, Pete doesn't like it when I talked about Cam Chancellor beheading that guy. Right? He kind of like, you don't need to put it that way. But fight, scratch, claw, tough. You know what those dudes all did? They all intimidated. They didn't want to play. People did not want to play the Seahawks. That's what I want. I want you to draft guys back to that nature. I want the guys, you know, and Bobby is still here, okay, and he still brings that will. You know, but I want more and more and more of those guys on that roster, and if it begins tonight at number 18 or at number 22, sign me up.
Let's grab Greg, who's in Renton. Good morning, Greg.
Hey, so part of the reason why your phone lines haven't been full is, you know, as a Seahawks fan, we've watched the draft on day one, and always seen the Seahawks trade out, so it's hard to get excited for this first day. If we do end up picking somebody, I would like to see, you know, some kind of pass rusher, really hoping that Vita Vea falls to us, but not holding my breath that we even do anything on the first day.
Yeah, I mean, they have a pick, and they can trade back without leaving the first round. I guess what I would submit to you, Greg, and anyone else who feels that way is, then call up and express your displeasure with that. I mean, that's what sports radio has been around for like 25 years, is for you to call up and say, I think the Seahawks are going to trade out, and I'm furious about it.
And that's really it. It's hard to turn on ESPN, watch the draft, see the Seahawks pick come up, and then suddenly they've traded out again.
So do you want them to pick at 18?
I would love to see them pick at 18.
So you're okay with them not having a second and third round pick?
I'm okay with them not having a second and third round pick unless they trade Earl. If they can get a second and third for Earl, I say you take it.
All right. Appreciate the phone call, man, and you may very well be right about all that. Let's do this. Let's keep this going. The phone lines are now full, and so I appreciate all of you guys for sort of jumping aboard.
That wasn't even your mom's guilt.
No?
That was like dad's.
Yeah.
That was Mike Hewer, right? Some highway in Nebraska. I'm going to pull this thing over.
I will.
I'm going to pull the caravan over.
I will.
And I'm going to throw you out of it.
Did your dad call you pathetic losers?
Did
or
I
do
say
you think
that?
That was a little much.
I didn't say pathetic losers, did I?
I think a couple times.
No, I wouldn't have said that. There's no way.
Not just
way.
Once, but maybe two or three times.
There's no way I use the phrase pathetic losers to describe our listeners. I would not do that. There's no chance.
I think
chance.
It was the entire city of Seattle.
There's no way. Well, there's no chance.
We do have tape.
206. Now there's no way. 206-421-3776. There's no way. There's no way I would have done that. We got you guys on the horn. What's the one thing you want to see the Seahawks accomplish this weekend? All six phone lines full next on Brock and Salk.
Hey, Brock Hewitt here for Toyota Puyallup. You know, when you're shopping for a new vehicle, you want the best value and to be treated fairly. You want confidence that the dealership will be there long after the sale. Well, Toyota Puyallup is Washington's most awarded Toyota dealer for customer satisfaction, and they've been doing it for almost 50 years. Toyota Puyallup has more than 700 new Toyotas for you to choose from and one of the largest selections of Toyota trucks in the Northwest. Plus, they all come with 2 years of complimentary maintenance. So go see Carrie and her team at Toyota Puyallup, putting you first since 1970.
I'm serious. I'm so embarrassed that these phone lines aren't full that I'm thinking of walking off the radio. It's the day of the NFL draft with the supposed 12s being the most impressive fan base in the country. And you guys don't have an opinion on what the Seahawks should do this weekend? You guys should be ashamed of yourselves, every one of you. Didn't say pathetic losers. Didn't say pathetic losers, Kyle. What I got to tell you guys, 206-421-3776, day of the draft. This hour brought to you by Precor Home Fitness, and we'll get to your calls here in a second. Pretty simple question. What would you like to see the Seahawks accomplish this weekend? I went into the other room, Brock, during the break there to see Lydia and Kyle shunned. And Howdy and even intern Joey. None of them would even make eye contact with me. They're all mad at me.
You got totally shunned.
They're all mad at me. Lydia, look at them. Lydia Kyle won't even make eye contact with
he
me.
He is so mad at you.
What is going on back there?
Listening to the tape. I haven't got a chance.
Oh, Kyle's busy trying to find the pathetic loser.
I just think that's an interesting, you know, source of accomplishment when you're like, yes, I didn't call people pathetic losers.
That's
it's
right.
A good day.
It was a
told
good day.
Told you so.
That's what I'm going to try to accomplish this weekend, not refer to anybody I know as a pathetic loser.
So I really wish I could have taped. I should have taped that. You walked in. We opened the control room door. And it's like, oh.
Hey, how do you, did you think I was too...
Hi, guys.
No response.
He wouldn't even look at you.
Joey's like got his hands over his eyes.
Even
intern.
The intern wouldn't look up.
Lydia left the room because it was too awkward for her, and Kyle's apparently looking for tape when he's not busy staring daggers at me from the other room. So this is where we're at. 206-421-3776. What would you like to see the Seahawks accomplish this weekend? For me, my list, trade Earl for a first-round pick and hopefully more, and then use both those first-rounders, but trade back in the first round. So pick up a third rounder because I think they're going to need it. And somewhere along the line there, Brock, get the next leader of this team.
Mm-hmm.
The next guy who can replace Cam and Cliff and their leadership just as much as what they do on the field. I think it's important to the future of the Seahawks. 206-421-3776. Garrett is in Randall, or maybe it's just Garrett Randall. He's here on 710 ESPN Seattle. What's up, dude?
How's it going, guys?
What do you want done?
What I want done is, okay, so I don't think that Dallas is going to pull the trigger on this trade until after their pick because they'd want the number one wide receiver. So I want Seahawks to at least take the 18 pick. It could be a pass rusher. It could be a corner. I want them to do that. I think after Dallas's pick, I think that's when they're going to pull the trigger and give at least a second or a third for Thomas. And with that pick, I want Shaquem Griffin.
That high?
I think that's our brawler. I think that's leadership, and he's hungry. So
That's a good call, Garrett. And I think there's a lot of sense, a ton of logic to that, actually. The Dallas is looking at this draft. If we're looking at it in the eyes of pass rush, Dallas is looking at it saying, geesh, unlike last year where three receivers went in the top 12, we may have the number one guy in a it's not that deep of a class, but we may get our number one guy at 19. So they've got to figure it out. They've got to see what's going on. If you want Earl traded, and so do I, then you want a draft. You want a receiver or two taken. You want that. You want somebody to
okay with that.
Yeah. You absolutely do. You want them taken in the top 15. So Dallas is sitting there going, geez, now there really is no difference between our second round or, you know, that pick. So
you might as well trade back and see what happens.
You can say, we get Earl Thomas with our 19th pick.
All right, 206-421-3776. You know who's on the phone for you, Brock?
Who?
Our guy, Adam in Snohomish, one of the most famous callers in the history of Brock and Salk, who once correctly predicted out of nowhere that the Seahawks would take Bruce Irvin. Good morning, Adam. Good to hear you for your yearly call-in to our show.
Gentlemen, thank you for having me. I've been doing nothing but preparing for this very call for 12 months.
Adam, what do you do for a living?
Well, I'm a strategic communication student at Washington State University in Everett.
Okay. Whoa, all right.
Cooks.
What are the Seahawks going to do? Are you ready to make your grand prediction? Have you been right since Bruce Irvin?
No.
I haven't been right on a top pick, but I've called a couple of guys late.
Who? Like
one
who?
Guy that I really like. I really liked Brock Coyle when they were doing their scouting at Montana. I can't remember the pass rusher off the top of my head right now, but Brock Coyle really stuck out to me
all
that
right.
year.
Who do you got this year? What will the Seahawks do this year, Mr. Predictor?
Well, I think they're going to trade back a couple of times. I think your last caller is right in the sense that we're going to go after Shaquem Griffin, but I think the first pick is going to be Billy Price out of Ohio State.
Say that one more time, and I won't in case the tape is right. Who's going to be their first pick?
I believe Billy Price out of Ohio State, interior offensive lineman.
Well done, Adam. Thank you. I hope you are right. I like him. He fits my mode. You ran through your list. For me, it's also the trade Earl. That has to get done. They have to get more draft capital, and he's their most valuable piece, and most because I don't think he wants to be here, and I know he doesn't want to be here on the contract he sits on. The second thing I said to you earlier, draft the most violent player. I don't really care the position. I don't care if it's Billy Price at center or it's Will Hernandez at guard or whoever that is that they deem that is just the nastiest, most violent player on their board at their positions. I think there will be room to trade down. I think there's some incredible depth at corner, at running back, at tight end with picks, call it 40 through 100. So I think that is a priority. And then when everything else is even, then get the bigger, faster guy.
I just have so few picks from 40 to 100.
Correct.
I mean, it's so frustrating to go through what they're going through without a second and third round pick. And
yes, it is.
You would expect a team going through the type of turn they are to have multiple third round picks. And instead, all of their extra picks are in the fifth round. The fifth.
Yes.
And I'm not saying that you can't do good things with a fifth rounder, but God, if you're looking for those nasty, physical, dominant presences, you sure would think that the second, third rounder are a pretty good place to find some of those guys. 206-421-3776. The one thing you would like to see the Seahawks accomplish this weekend is, let's see, how about Patrick, who's been hanging on in Texas? Hi, Patrick. Good morning.
Good morning. I want a running back. I mean, if we can trade Earl, why not get a running back? I hate it that we always just try to find these late round running backs. I mean, some of them have produced for us, but why not get Nick Chubb? I mean, he's a violent running.
Mm-hmm.
I like Nick Chubb. So, I mean, if they come away from this draft with Nick Chubb, I can't lie. I'll be really excited. I like him. I like him more than Sony Michel. The two running backs I really like in this draft, Brock, are Nick Chubb and Rashad Penny from San Diego
State.
Yeah,
I would say to you, though, Patrick, and I'd really look at kind of history of this one and say that running back group is actually one where you get great strength in numbers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the leading rusher last year was who? It was Kareem Hunt. Right, who was a third-round pick. It wasn't – he ran for more yards than Mr. Fournette did as a top-five pick, right, in a run-first system in Kansas City, one that likes to spread it all around. So I think that there is tremendous –
was he better than Fournette? I mean, I don't know if he was.
He's pretty darn close.
I'm not saying he wasn't good, but I watched Fournette play, man. I mean, he looked pretty dominant.
And I watched Kareem Hunt play, and he could be very dominant, too. And had a tremendous year.
And especially, look, as much as I would like those guys, and I tell you, if they come in with one of those two, I will not complain when we come in tomorrow or Monday or whenever it is. But I do think in this draft specifically, there are so many good running backs that to take one that high is probably giving up on something else that you need when you could very easily use one of your 9 fifth-round picks to take a running back and get somebody who's pretty talented at that spot as well. Maybe it's the kid from Arizona State who's probably going to be there in the late rounds. Heck, as we were saying, man, I mean, you've got 5 or 6 guys just from the Pac-12 that are all going to be probably successful running backs in this league. So 206-421-3776. How about, let's see, you want Tony or Jody?
Jody.
Jody. In Kirkland. Good morning, Jody. What would you like to see happen this weekend?
I want him to pick. Pick at 18. Get me a maniac, a football-loving, fired up, come in here, scream, shout, yell, get me a maniac. That's what I want.
All right. I love that. I thought she was going to say a fire-breathing football maniac. You're right there with
basically
me,
what she said.
Jody, I'm right. I'm in your passenger seat right there, and we're screaming at each other the same thing.
Just,
yes.
It's impossible to imagine that they are going to pick at 18 and not trade Earl Thomas and not pick again until the fourth round. I can't fathom it.
Do you remember how mean Chris Clemens was?
Yes.
Do you remember how intimidating when he was down in his Frogger stance? Like, you didn't move, Red Bryant. You should move. Do you remember how nasty Michael Bennett was, especially early? Or Cliff Averill, the Haitian sensation coming off the edge? I mean, do you remember that crew that just absolutely took apart Denver in a Super Bowl that couldn't be blocked, that had that rotation and just, you know, in last year, and let's be honest, the last couple years, that started to take a bit of a step back.
Mm.
That level of intimidation, that level of just physical presence and physical dominance took a step back. And when John Schneider sat in here with us a couple weeks ago, Mike, it didn't take him but a split second to say the Rams game. Right. When we talked about it, and I wasn't even looking for that answer. I just said to him, hey, remember early on in the build when you said to us that Pittsburgh would never happen again?
Yeah.
And he was like, yeah, the Rams.
Can't happen again.
What did you say? Yeah, the Rams. That can't ever happen again.
God, that's
funny. You can't get run through on a 3rd and 11.
That wasn't the Rams.
I understand that. But on a 3rd and 11 against Jacksonville, the game on the line, we can't get blocked and run over and embarrassed.
That's the game I keep pointing to. The Rams, look, blowouts happen occasionally in the NFL. You don't show up, a couple guys are hurt, things break the wrong way, and the next thing you know, you get blowed out. Okay, fine. It's the Jacksonville game that sticks with me, man, and specifically that play. Because you stopped them there on 3rd and 11 when Jacksonville gave up and said, we'll punt you the ball back, and you can't stop a running play on 3rd and 11, you're not the Seahawks anymore.
Yeah, don't meet me there, man. Beat me there.
Well, that's what comes back to the Andrew email that kind of started this whole thing, which is yeah, for everybody, all the talk about pass rusher, whatever, this team's problem is they got run on.
Yep.
They got run on 3rd and 11. The team showed them so little respect, they ran over them for a first down with the game on the line.
Maniacs. Well, maniacs.
Maniacs will help solve that. All right, let's see just how dedicated you guys are. We're going to 206-421-3776. The phone lines at the moment are 100% totally full.
Jack,
we will get back to the calls at 9 o'clock. Can you hang on while we go through good news, bad news, no news? We'll see. Next, I'm Brock and Salk.
Meritage Distilling's BSB Lounge at the ballpark. When you hear the side is retired, we're referring to those old guys taking shots of BSB at the side of the bar.
You can't spell baseball without BSB.
Meritage Distilling Company, proud sponsor of your Seattle Mariners.
Hey, this is Danny O'Neill from the Danny Dave and Moore Show. Thank you for listening to the Brock and Salk Show. I'd really appreciate it if you checked out Danny Dave and Moore. We're kind of charming, very fun. It's every afternoon from 3 to 7. You can stream us live at 710sports.com or on the 710 Sports app or listen on demand.
Good news.
Yeah!
Bad news. No news. Now, here's Brock and Salk.
Well, let's see. Text coming in. I think Salk's finally embracing the Seattle way. He invites everyone to call in, then says, oh, sorry, now's not good for me. Can you wait? We should do dinner sometime. Oh, sorry, next week's not good. Maybe sometime next fall. Lydia's just nodding her head. You've turned into Howdy back there, like a little nodding bobblehead back there. All right. What's in the news before we get back to your calls?
Good news, bad news, no news.
Ryan Healy is expected back in the Mariners lineup this afternoon in Cleveland.
Good.
Great news.
Good. You're going to need it. That's a good pitching rotation for the Indians. That's an even better bullpen. You do not want to fall behind against these guys. It led them, you know, deep into the American League playoffs last year against Houston Astros. They're right there. Houston Astros is the best team in the American League. Boston Red Sox are probably a close second. The Indians are right there. I mean, this is the upper crust that you've got to deal with. I think the Mariners have proven, going 5-1-2 to begin this season, that they're going to beat bad baseball teams. They're not a bad baseball team. They're going to beat bad baseball teams.
Yep.
Now, how do you match up against some of the best, especially on the road, when you won the series against them to begin the season at home? Yeah, you got to scratch your claw and fight.
Yeah, it's good news. It's maybe even great news, man. It is game 24 of the season, and we will finally get to see the Mariners' full lineup on display. I'll just say this.
As it was meant to be.
Little message to Scott Servais. Please, make sure you play Zunino tonight. Don't give anyone a day off, because if you don't...
You may never get no
And then
chance.
Somebody gets hurt today. We may never see this lineup intact, even for one game. So please... Play them whole lineup, 1 through 9.
And we know the danger of stairs. Yes. We know the danger of post-game workouts.
By the way, do you have a feeling on how you should put 7, 8, 9 in the lineup?
No.
If you know 1 through 6,
I do not.
How are you putting Gamble, Zunino, and
I like Gamble. I like Gamble at 9. Okay. I don't know if he likes it. He's not off to a
kind of restart
start.
The whole.
Yes.
So you would go probably Healy, Zunino, Gamble?
Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
You?
Yeah, I think I would too.
Good news, bad news, no news.
Same page.
Jaguars owner Shad Khan bought Wembley Stadium in London.
I don't know what kind of news this is yet, but it's definitely news. I mean, he's saying he's trying to protect the Jaguars' interest in both London and in Jacksonville.
Yeah, he said this is good news for Jacksonville.
Right. Yeah, I don't see how that makes any sense whatsoever. But unlike Brock, I'm not necessarily opposed to a team moving to London full time. Maybe I'll think differently after I watch the Seahawks go there to take on Oakland this year. But I don't know. It doesn't necessarily bother me. I think it's kind of a cool idea.
Yeah, they better change the mascot, too, because that won't work. The London Jaguars.
What would you call them?
The Monarchs. That was a pretty good name. The London Monarchs. I think that kind of fit. If I'm a Jacksonville Jaguar fan, though, and I'm one of the diehards, I'm one of their P1s, I'm one of those crazies there, like Jody, one of those maniacs, you know, fans, that's bad, bad news for them. That's bad news. There's no other way to spin it.
Good news, bad news, no news.
We have a special guest in studio for this next good news, bad news, news story.
Special
Greg Green
guest?
From the Mariners coming in studio. Whoa. I know. It's a special day.
This is
a lot of people
so,
here.
He'll explain.
What's going on here? What Greg Green, marketing
machismo,
communications extraordinaire for the Mariners.
Is this a first?
Why is the brass back there? What's going on here?
All right, so this, I think, is good news.
Oh.
It has nothing to do with the Mariners, but it has to do with you.
Me?
Yeah, it has to do with you.
Whoa.
So I read the story that you posted a couple days ago and listened to your interview with Jim Abbott, and I was really moved, genuinely moved about what you talked about and what you did and the inspiration that you got from him. And I want to tell you a little story, just a quick little story about me. So I got started in sports working for Norm Johnson. Remember the Seahawks kicker, Norm Johnson? He had a sports card store in Woodinville in Bellevue.
Did.
I got to manage it when I was in high school and a little bit into college. I got to go to some special events with him. I went to one special event, and I purchased one item, the only autographed item I have ever purchased in my entire life. And that one item is here. And I'm giving it to you today
what
for
you
your 40th.
You're giving it to me?
I think
hold on, this is so special to you. You're giving it to me.
Why am I crying right now?
I don't know that I want. Like I feel terrible. I already feel guilt over this.
So Do you know what this is? Radio, right?
I'm going to guess what this is.
This is radio, right? So
yes.
Brock, I'm going to need your help describing what I'm unveiling.
So we've got a wardrobe bag right here, and I think I know what this is.
Greg's hands are trembling.
Oh, yeah, I'm excited.
Wow.
Oh my God! Look at that.
I think this is the uniform, one of the uniforms. This is his actual uniform, Jim Abbott's uniform jersey, signed, that I think you should have.
Oh my God!
You used him as inspiration. I think you can use your power here on the radio to inspire other kids to play baseball and folks with disabilities to play baseball. And I think having this up either here at work or at home.
God, look at this!
This should be an inspiration to you as well.
Angels jersey, got to be California Angels.
That's
right?
And look at the little tag that says what set it's from. It's his actual jersey because it's got an extra 2 inches for him. There
2-inch
the
extra length. I need that as you can to make myself look taller.
Wow,
but
that is incredible.
But
it's
thank
an
you,
old Rawlings jersey, man. It says set to 1990. So that's California Angels.
California,
right?
The cool, old Angels with the A. Mariners guy talking about the Angels, but
I know.
This is,
but he's not an angel. That's the thing about Jim Abbott. And thank you, Greg. That is an unbelievable gift. The thing about Jim Abbott is that I don't think of him as an Angel or a Yankee. I got no love for either of these two teams whatsoever. No. I know he later pitched for the Brewers, maybe the Twins or something, but I don't think of him as an Angel or a Yankee.
I was telling my son about it in the car ride over. We watched the clip of him throwing the no-hitter with the Yankees in the backseat on the way to school. And really,
what's your son saying? Your son is 9, right?
Yeah, my son's 9.
What
he's playing
he
ball. It's what you did. You got kids talking about other kids not being able to, even if they have a disability, you can go out there and play ball. It doesn't matter. And what really impressed me is it brought you joy for 5 more years playing the game.
Man.
And I hope this will continue to inspire.
This is used, huh? This is he used
that's,
this
that's
thing.
His jersey.
It's like a little bit of pine tar, I think, here on the sleeve.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Put a little pine tar there just to make sure you get enough movement. This is awesome. Greg, you were a tremendous
happy birthday.
Human being.
Happy
Thank
birthday.
You.
Thanks
you
for
very, very, very
thanks
much.
What you guys do.
That
appreciate
is incredibly
you.
Nice. All right. Well, Brock, there you go. You never know what's going to happen. You call the fans and the listeners pathetic losers, and the next thing you know, somebody does something incredibly nice for you.
I wonder if he was listening yesterday.
Wait, you called guys pathetic losers?
No.
Give me that back.
All right, that's good news, bad news, no news, and apparently incredibly nice, generous, wonderful news. Greg, thank you.
You're welcome.
Very, very much. All right, we'll be right back. 206-421-3776, the phone number. It is Brock and Salk.